Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is free, is Cross the Border. I don't know why I'm still doing that after so many years. Cross the Border. That's also the name of my website is Cross the Border, and you can find that by going to crosstheborder.org on the internet. Today we're continuing our study in the Gospel of Mark. Last time we ended up in chapter 6, so about verse, well, I have 49 where my bookmark is here. And it says, "But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled." So they didn't know what they were seeing, obviously. You're on a ship, you're on the sea, and you see someone walking on the waters. And, you know, this is an impossibility. You have fishermen here who've spent their life at sea. And when something's unusual to them, you know, that it's very unusual. I haven't spent that much time on the water myself, but I think I'd be doing a double take. I'd be squinting my eyes and looking real hard, going, "What is that?" Right? And some of them cried out. They were so fearful of seeing this man walking on the water. And, of course, that's where their imagination kicks in, because how many have seen ghosts or spirits before? So that would be the imagination kicking in. And they cried out, for they all saw him. They were troubled, and immediately he talked with them, and he said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And he went up into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed. Well, I guess I would be amazed too, to know this man and then see him walking on the water. That's fairly amazing. They were sore amazed in themselves, and it says, beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Now this being said about his disciples, and that's interesting. They considered not the miracle of the loaves, because their heart was hardened. And go back, we examine that a little bit. "Master, should we send them away to go into the towns round about that they might find food, because it's getting late and we don't have any food here?" And Jesus said, "Well, what do we have?" And they went out and looked, and they came back, and we said, "We have 5 fishes and 2 loaves." And he said, "It's enough." Oh, their heart was hardened. They couldn't see the miracle taking place. And perhaps the miracle of walking on the water was what they needed to open their eyes to what was going on around them. How could they be blind to that? Well, perhaps it would be easy. I don't know. I wasn't there. But their hearts were hardened, and they did not consider the miracle of the loaves. Chapter 6, verse 53. "And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret, and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through that whole region round about, began to carry about in beds all that were sick, where they heard he was." So the fame of the Messiah, the man who does miracles, the man who does healing, people, the word got around, and they began to bring everyone that was sick. Well, I think I'd do the same thing. If I heard that there was a guy coming to town here, I'd go out and get all my sick friends and my relatives, and I'd say, "Let's go. This is your opportunity." Well, that's what's going on here. They had heard. And like I said, this is no Benny Hinn TBN production. There's no trickery going on here. There's no video magic. This is reality. I'm reminded again of that movie they had back in the 60s, what was that called? Jesus Christ Superstar. Was that the 70s? Sometime back then. But they had a movie called Jesus Christ Superstar. And they sing this ridiculous song in there, asking Jesus, why didn't you come when there was TVs and mass media and radio? And that's the gist of the song. Why did you come 2,000 years ago when we didn't have all this stuff? You know, because if you'd have come now, you'd have been Jesus Christ Superstar. Well, if he'd have come now, nobody would have believed it. Everybody would have thought, well, it's fakery. You know, I mean, they faked going to the moon. Come on. And that was in the beginning of media and the technology that we have today. Why did he come then? Well, you know, our Heavenly Father, in his wisdom, he chose the right time to come. He chose to come at a time when nobody was going to fake anything, and when men would write down their witness. And we have the witness. We have these gospels, and we have all of these authors. You know, a lot of people think that the Bible is one book written by one man, but it's not. It is a compilation of many books written by many different authors. And there are many of the authors, if not all of them, but many of them, foretold the coming of the Messiah. And he fulfilled what they told completely. And that is to let us know that the Spirit of God was in their writing, to let those people know at that time that the Spirit of God was in their writing, because the things that they said, that they could have no way of knowing or understanding what the future would hold, came to pass and unfolded exactly as the Word of God said. So when people saw these things coming to pass, they knew and they could believe in the Word of God. And they did. As, like I said, this was Daniel's 70th week. Here's the Messiah, and it's his week. And it's also the final week for Israel, as foretold by Daniel the prophet. And it's coming to pass exactly everything from the time that Daniel gave his prophecies to the time of the Messiah. Everything was fulfilled exactly in the order that Daniel gives it to the letter. Things Daniel, no way he could have known. But we can follow the chronology of his prophecies. And that's why I say that, you know, why the critics proclaim that Daniel must have been written after the fact. Because nobody could tell the future that exactly as Daniel has. That's what the critics say, that Daniel was written later. Well, many of Daniel's prophecies, not most have already been fulfilled up through the Messiah in the 70th week and the time determined for Israel. But some of his prophecy is still unfolding in history. You know, Daniel chapter 2, we see the image, dream, that tells us that the last great empire to rule the earth was that solid beast of Rome, the Roman Empire, signified by the image in his dream of solid brass. And then he says that solid iron. And then the iron breaks into pieces and is mingled with clay until the Messiah returns. That's exactly the way it's unfolding, if you have the understanding of that. There is no New World Order. It's here. It is here. And the latest thing in prophecy is the second beast to rise up out of the earth. And we're in it if you're in America, because there's no other beast government out there that completely and exactly fits and fills the description. There's no doubt in my mind, and I can tell you, there's no chance that I'm wrong when I say that America is the second beast of Revelation, because it fulfills the prophecy exactly. That's the lamb-like beast that rises up in the wilderness. It's opposite of the first beast that rises up out of the sea. The Bible tells us that the sea is multitudes and tongues and nations and peoples. And that's where Rome, and it also tells us that that is Rome, and that's where it rises up. So we have that to go on. We know the other one is an opposite beast. It rises up out of a wilderness, a sparsely populated area. America fulfills it. And it had two horns. We know that heads and horns on a beast from prophecy and from the from the interpretation given us in Scripture of prophecy of beasts with heads and horns, we know that the heads and the horns are successive powers, or some may be concurrent in some cases. So we know that this one beast rose up. No heads are given, just two horns. And it says it's like a lamb, and then it speaks like a dragon. So it describes each of those successive horns of power. The beast rises up, and it's lamb-like with all of the qualities, all the principles that this nation was founded on were godly principles according to God's law. That's lamb-like. Because the lamb, when you think of the lamb, well, it's only referring to one there, and that is the Lamb of God, who only did the things that please the Father. But then we see it morphs into a dragon, and it begins to speak like a dragon, and that means persecution. And then in Revelation, to back it up, in the Revelation, it says that it creates an image of the first beast, which means it morphs its governing authority and power into the image of the first beast. Because what else could a beast do? What is an image of a beast? If it becomes like the first beast, a persecuting power, if it morphs its government form from lamb-like to dragon-like, well, that is exactly what's happening today. We can see it unfolding. And I believe the change of government happened in the so-called Civil War, when really it was the war of federal aggression, because the war came from without the United States. The war was on all the 50 states, though they divided and used one half to subdue the other half, and then they subdued the whole nation. But you can slowly see that all the lamb-like principles are being left behind, to where now it is speaking like a dragon. It's telling Christians that they have to leave their church in order to be reunited with their children. That's what the dragon is saying. It's becoming a persecuting power, and it will be more so every day. I mean, now you have to have their socialist security slave number to take part in all things. And the day is coming, if it's not already here, where all of those who do not have the number of the beast or the number of his name will be persecuted. And I believe the time is coming where they will actually kill us. And I see no way, because it's going to fulfill prophecy. And that's the state of the nation. So that's how wonderful our word of God is. How exactly it gives us prophecy, and how exactly we can see that prophecy being fulfilled, when it is fulfilled, how it has been fulfilled, and how we can see it unfolding when it becomes all too clear. And believe me, it's all too clear at this point. Yes, we are getting near the end of the end times. And of course, according to the New Testament and the Gospel writers, they were beginning. It was the beginning of the end times when the Messiah would come, because it was the end of national Israel. So we have been in the end times, and we're getting to the end of the end times. Let's continue. So they came out of the ship straightway. They, the people in that land, they knew him. They ran through the whole region round about, began to carry all of the sick whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that he might touch, if it were but the border of his garment, that as many as touched him were made whole. There's power for you. And they came together unto him, and there came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of the disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, unwashed hands, they found fault. They found exactly what they were looking for. These are fault finders, right? We've got to find a fault with these guys. And how terrible. They didn't wash their hands. You know, I still haven't found that in the scripture where thou shalt wash thy hands before thou eatest, you know, the 11th commandment. I haven't found it in there. of course, the scribes and the Pharisees, they had their book of rules for keeping God's law called the Traditions of the Elders. And really, it was a lot of it was a way to get around God's law. Read that Babylonian Talmud today and you'll be astonished at what's in there and what they can get away with. And, some of it very evil writings. And these are the same ones. They came out of Babylon, and a lot of them were following that Traditions of the Elders, and many of them were following that Babylonian Talmud so that they could practice their evil and be justified in doing it. But they saw the disciples eat bread without washing their hands. Well, I've eaten bread a lot of times without washing my hands. Sometimes it's just not, you know, working on the construction site or something. Sometimes you just can't wash your hands. There's no place to wash your hands. My children, you know, always come in. I always have to wash your hands, but sometimes they don't. And that was all they could find. The Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, they eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And you'll notice the scripture does not say obeying the word of God or the law of God, but holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not, and many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Now, it's a good thing to do all that, to be clean and wash your dishes and clean your tables and wash your hands as often as you can. But you're not breaking the law of God by not doing that. But they do it religiously, and they take pride in it. And they find fault in others that do not do it, because, you know, they're much better than all of us unwashed out here. Yes, they're still out there today. There's plenty of them. They wear red and scarlet and black robes and act real sanctimonious and speak in other dead languages like Latin. You'll find them and all their little rituals and folding the napkins perfectly and all that stuff and waving their little smoky incense burners, you know. And oh, how holy it is. Yes, we're all standing in awe. Not. It's all so silly as far as I'm concerned when I see this nonsense and carrying all their little broken crosses and they got their dead Catholic Jesus nailed to their cross continually. I guess no one's told him, he is risen, he is risen. They took him off the cross, they put him in the tomb, and he rose from the dead. Didn't anyone tell them that part of the story? Perhaps not. I hear they don't read their Bibles anyway, so perhaps they didn't get that far in the book. So then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? And he answered and said to them, well, hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites? As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, for laying aside the commandment of God. You know, there's a lot of, you have the reactionaries out there. If you reference God's law and the commandments of God, they call you a legalist and they call you a Pharisee. And all they've done is entered into the same tradition of the elders. So they just have different elders, that's all. But listen to what Yahshua, Jesus, says about these people. He says, howbeit in vain they worship me, teaching that for doctrine the commandments of men, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. Laying aside. See, that's not Messiah's. Find the fault in them is that they lay aside the commandment of God. They've exchanged the commandments of God and the law of God for the traditions and the commandments of men. Now you go down here to your local corporate church And they'll get out their Bible and they'll open it to Romans chapter 13. And they'll say, let everyone obey the government leaders, because the government leaders are ordained of God, and we must obey every ordinance of man. What have they done? Well, first they've twisted the word of God a little bit, because the word says, let everyone be subject to the higher powers, and the powers that are ordained of God. And we're to obey every ordinance of men, yes, where it does not require us to disobey the commandments and the law of God. Now, that's some good teaching there. That's some pretty good preaching. We don't obey every ordinance of man unless it's in compliance with the law of God, unless it's in compliance with his commandments. And we have plenty of examples in the scripture. We got Daniel, we got Shadrach, the three Israelites, and Peter, who when they told him, you can't preach on this corner, well, guess where they found him the next day, preaching on that corner. Why, an angel even busted him out of jail so he could go to that corner. And when the authorities said, where is he? Bring him in. They said, man, he's out. He said, go out and find him. And they went, hey, they're back at that same place. Okay, we'll be back in a few minutes.